You studied creative writing in college, and I'm wondering what kind of influences, who were the poets that really made you think about dedicating your life the way you did?
I was dedicated to writing about my experiences in the Himalayas and my life, and so I just needed to find the right voice, and that wasn't automatic, and it took some time, but I was really gifted with some great teachers, especially at the University of Washington, where I got my BA. There were a lot of visiting professors. Jim Welch, I studied with, and Leslie Silco, Al Young, William Matthews was director of the program, and he was a really good influence in terms of the prose poems, the French poets that he translated, and
Francis Ponge, maybe.
yeah, right, and Stanley Plumley. And so then when I went down to the, well, I started out, okay, here's what happened. I started out writing poetry because it seemed more accessible, but I really had a lot. And so I started writing poems about some of my India experiences. And then it got to the point where I just really needed to expand because there were so many details, and I just needed to get more into it. So I switched to prose at that point, or I just kind of expanded into prose. And I studied with Philip Lopate and Donald Barthelme. And that kind of got me, that was good for me in the sense that that kind of postmodern humor and even sarcasm, is a good teaching for me. And so that was very important experience. And let's see, who else did I study with? But I just feel it's a gift to have good teachers, whether in poetry or prose, just in order to help you get your feet on the ground, get your voice, find your voice, and find the good work that's been done. That's what really was important, because I had no exposure to poetry in middle school or even high school. We were not forced, but we were expected to memorize Gilbert and Sullivan jingles and recite it out loud, and that was poetry.
But who are some of the poets that became really important to you?
Well, especially the ones that I w you know the te the some of the teachers, like Jim Welch, although he wrote some poetry but mostly prose. And I like a lot of different poets. I like Jane Hirschfield, and I like Mary Oliver, and I like Billy Collins. I like the humor, and which is a good teaching. I like Emily Dickinson, and there's just so many, really. It's hard to stop.
What are you working on now?
Well, I have a new collection of poems that is looking for a publisher, and I have working on a memoir, another memoir, and also some fiction. I know it's crazy, but I'm just attuned to the flow of whatever the flow is, and it seems to change a lot. I should have more focus, and but I've tried that at times, and I've kind of forced myself, and it doesn't really help. I do need space. I need a lot of space between genres, and experiences. I'm sort of a slow writer. I mean, this book, Sleeping in Caves, it came out 20, 25 years after I was in India. I'm still writing about that, too. I mean, I haven't finished. But it takes time for things to percolate and also to gain the skills needed to write about some of these things. And luckily, I think I have enough skills now. I don't know. But they're hard topics. And it takes time to get it right. And so I'm slow in that way. I don't like to push myself.
What do you think is possible with all this, the combination of Cascadia and poetry and the cultural investigation? You've attended two festivals. Mm-hmm. You spoke at the reading for Make It True, the poetry from Cascadia, recommending people go to these things.
Yeah.
But what do you think is possible 20, 30 years down the road from efforts like this, if they're as successful as they could be?
Well, I mean, it seems like it can only grow because it really affects all of us. And, you know, they're important issues. We share the concerns of the bioregion and the environment and the water and the land and all the, and the peoples and the languages, the cultures. It's a great history, and it's a great, and we need, first of all, we need to have more education about that for myself and for other people, younger people. The educational aspect is important, and the poetic interpretation and books and writers speaking about it. It's very important. I just think it'll be bigger. Especially David's, that map of Cascadia with all those, what was it? It was something like 77 ice fields. 77 ice fields.
Sounds crazy amount like that, yeah.
Ice fields.
And he started naming them, and the guy, the map maker said, "You can't do that."
Yeah, right. It's good. Thank you for doing this. I mean, it's your vision. We should have the interview now switch to you.
But I learn about it when I ask people about it. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I ask somebody like you who's been around and has seen these things and doesn't seem to have a lot of fear, is attracted in the way that we've been describing. You know, you probably have some nuggets for us. But the fact that you recognize it and that you've attended to and that you speak highly of it is good enough for me.
Mm.
I'm also very grateful for your time and for, you know, this kind of access to really intimate details of your life. So thank you for sitting down and talking with me.
Oh, well, thank you for asking and for being there and doing what you do so well.